Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
That excites me because worship is, there's something about worship that grabs your heart and draws you into the presence of God. And so, for me, worship is just my opportunity, my time to be able to sneak away and spend time with my good Father, you know? And so, you know, last Sunday, Pastor Bobby spoke on pressure. You guys remember that service? Spoke on pressure. And he said, according to statistics, that the number one fear or pressure is the fear of public speaking, even above death. And so that's good. Actually, you know, the song that we sang this morning, I'm no longer a slave to fear. You know what? As believers, when we take one step forward and we trust the Lord, we are no longer slaves to pressure. We are no longer slaves to fear. And so when we trust in the Lord, we can boldly step out and do things we never dreamed we would do. Isn't that the truth? Because God, when he comes in, when he begins to work in your heart, there's that fear just falls off. Yes, sometimes you still feel the pressure, and I can be honest with you guys, I'm feeling a little pressure. But I'm doing something that I thought in a million years I would never do because of the goodness of God and the greatness of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So when you think about worship, typically the first thing that comes to mind, especially in our culture and the way we do church today, is music, isn't it? We think about music. So what if I was to tell you this morning that music on its own really has very little to do with worship? Let me tell you the definition in the Webster Dictionary of music, okay? Music is vocal or instrumental sounds, or both, combined in such a way as to produce beauty of form, harmony, and expression of emotion. Okay? So today my hope is that I'm able to share with you guys what is at the core, what is at the heart of worship. Okay? So, in order for me to do that, I have to talk about two different things. Okay? I need to talk about music, and I want to talk about worship. So first, what I want to do is I want to teach you a little bit about music. And so listen, today you're going to hear some music that you would typically not hear in church, okay? But I'm going to use these examples this morning as a tool to make my point. So is everybody okay with that? Can we do that this morning and just have a little bit of fun? Yeah, okay. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to take you on a road trip, okay? And you know that the theme of our series this month is vacation, all I ever wanted, right? And so today we're going to go on a road trip together, okay? We're going to take a journey into music and what makes music click. Okay? Can we do that? Okay. So we're going to have a little fun. I'm going to embarrass myself, but we're just going to relax and enjoy church this morning, okay? So let's do that. Let's do that. Okay. Maestro, go ahead and play the first song. Anybody know what this song is? Okay, what happens when you hear this song? Can anybody tell me what happens when you hear this song? Right? There's this burst of energy, this burst of emotion, right? And it kind of takes you back to maybe when you saw this movie, right? Right? Rocky? Everybody remember Rocky? I remember Rocky. And Rocky Balboa, right? He steps in the ring and this music starts, right? And he begins to go, he steps toe-to-toe with this guy, eye-to-eye, and he begins to go at it. So when I hear this song, it automatically takes me there. And this burst of energy, this burst of emotion, it's like this explosion. And all of a sudden, all you want to do is punch somebody's eyes out. It's crazy. It's crazy. We are in church. I won't be punching anybody's eyes out today. Okay, let's go to the next song. Enough of that. So, you can't tell me you've never done this, right? Come on. A song like this comes on, right? Maybe you're alone in your bedroom, right? Or you're hiding out somewhere. Nobody else in the world sees you, okay? And this happens, and the first thing that goes through your mind is, I am the world's greatest conductor. Right? I'm the world's greatest conductor. And so you stand up on a chair in your bedroom, and you begin to conduct this symphony. Anybody tell me what that piece is? Beethoven's Fifth, yes. And so what happens is this emotion, again, this feeling, this experience comes over you, and you have to conduct, right? You can't help it. It just happens. Okay, number three. Okay. anybody know what that is? Okay, Michael Jackson, right? And I don't care who you are. When a Michael Jackson song comes on, what do? You gotta move, right? You gotta dance because there's something about Michael Jackson's music that makes you want to dance. And you remember him on the stage. And as he begins to perform, he was this amazing performer, despite who he was, but he was this amazing performer, and it just made you want to get up and dance. Even a 47-year-old white guy who doesn't have any rhythm at all. Okay, the next one. Okay. If you don't know what this is, then you're probably not breathing, okay? What happens when you hear this song or this piece? I'll tell you what, the first thing you do is you start looking around for a lightsaber, right? Because you're ready to cut down Vader and face the rebellion. Yeah, there's just something that happens when you hear that music. It takes you to that place, and all of a sudden, you are a Jedi Master. Yeah. Okay, how about the next one? Wow, I can't believe he's playing that song in church. This song is only 2 minutes long, but we're going to go ahead and listen to it because there's something that happens at the end of this song that that you just want to explode, okay? So we're gonna wait. Go ahead and clap. It's okay. It's okay to have fun. All right. Now, when you hear that song, right, through the whole song, what are you anticipating? You're anticipating that end. Why? Because that's probably the most well-known guitar riff on the planet. And if you hear that, the first thing you want to do is you want to grab the nearest air guitar and become a rock star, don't you? Absolutely. But what else happens in this song? Right? There's this again, this energy, this burst of emotion, and kind of this sense of rebellion, right? Right? I got mud on my face, big disgrace, right? There's this sense of rebellion. So that's interesting. That's interesting. Okay, let's go to the next one. Right? When you hear this, who doesn't want to hold a cute little baby lion? Anybody? When I hear this, the first thing I want to do is I want to go out and I want to go to the pet store and I want to buy myself a baby lion. Why? Because this song kind of draws you to that place and you remember how cute Simba was. Right? And you want to go find him, and you want to take care of him, and you want to love him, and you want to feed him, and now you have a lion. Right. All right, let's move to the next one. A gold star to whoever knows what this song is. Okay, so by show of hands, how many people know who this is? Wow, that's better than I thought. That's awesome. So some of you don't know this music, and I wouldn't expect you to know this music. You see, this particular song or this particular artist means a whole lot to me, okay? And so what I mean by that is when I was a little boy growing up, living with my folks, my dad would get up every morning, and he would put on John Denver, right? And so when I hear this music, when I hear John Denver, I think of my father. I think of my family. I think of being at home, and it was a good experience, okay? Anybody else ever experience anything like that when they listen to music? A song comes on, something happens, and all of a sudden, it takes you there, doesn't it? It takes you there. Yeah, it takes you on a road trip. Yeah, let's go with the next one. If you know this song, you can go ahead and sing with me on this song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Okay. So I thought I would take us, go ahead and bring that down. I thought I would take us back to church on that one, okay? So when you listen to that song or when you hear that song, you think about God, of course, right? You think about the foundation that we have in Christ. But also, when I hear this song, I think about heritage. I think about heritage because you guys, I cannot remember the first time I heard that song. I can't remember. Anybody remember the first time they heard Amazing Grace? It's like it's just a part of us, right? It's like we were born knowing that song, right? It's just in there. And so music can bring out feelings and experiences of heritage, where you belong, who you are, okay? So, music taps into our memories. It taps into our experiences, our emotions, and our heritage. You see, music runs deep into the fabric of who we are, doesn't it? Yeah. Music also connects us culturally. Okay? I want to go ahead and bring up some pictures that I brought this morning. Can we bring up the first one? So, a few months ago, I can't remember exactly how long ago, but a few months ago, my family and I, my mom, we all got to go on this vacation of a lifetime, right? We got to go to Maui, and it was awesome and beautiful, and we talk about it almost every day because of how it impacted us, okay? And so here's one of the pictures. This is actually looking out from where we stayed. You can see those rooms right there, and so we were right on the water, and we'd wake up, and we'd see the water and the ocean, and just this tropical paradise all around us, right? So it's such a great place of rest and relaxation. And go ahead and go to the next one. My daughter and me hanging out on the beach. Go ahead to the next one. Another beautiful spot. Go ahead and move on. Isn't that amazing? Beautiful waterfall, huh? There's waterfalls all over the place. You just start exploring on the island, and you come across just some amazing things that God has done. Okay, go to the next one. My son and my daughter hanging out on the beach. And go to the next one. Okay, go ahead and stop here for just a minute. Here we are. You see the lays around our necks, right? And so we're tapping into the culture a little bit. We're just hanging out, getting ready for a luau, right? Because one thing that we really wanted to do when we went over to Maui is experience a luau, okay? And so one of the first things we did is we went out and bought some tickets and found the best place to experience the luau and the eating. And so that's us just kind of getting ready. You can see my stomach is sticking out a little bit because I just ate a whole hog. Let's go ahead and move to the next one. Okay. And so it begins, okay? And so they're just getting ready to start dancing here, okay? And we're all sitting, you know, at our tables, just this eager anticipation of what's going to take place. And what would you think, okay, if the dance was about to start, okay? And they turn the music on, And here comes the music. And what you hear is satisfaction by the Stones. Okay? I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get... Right? Would that throw you off? That would throw me off, right? Because I'm expecting something else. I'm expecting music that identifies to the culture. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so as much as maybe you love the Stones, it would not be appropriate at a luau, would it? No, because you wouldn't identify with the culture or with what's going on, huh? So music connects us culturally, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And so now, you guys, that I've taken you on this road trip, and we've all enjoyed our journey together, can you see how music becomes a vehicle that takes you somewhere? Yeah, it totally takes you somewhere, doesn't it? And so, because music takes you somewhere, we need to be careful. We need to be careful what we're listening to as believers, don't we? Yeah, because maybe you'll be getting into a vehicle that's going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. Right? Yeah, so we need to be careful. And I know that for some of you, hearing this might hit a bit of a nerve, okay? Because the first time I heard this, right, there was a nerve that was triggered inside of me, right? You can kick my dog, right? You can slap me around. You can punch my sister. But do not be dissing my music, right? Yeah. Don't diss my music, okay? Well, listen, guys, I'm not talking about music styles, okay? We all have different music styles, don't we? We all grew up in different areas, different places. We all have likes and dislikes. And we don't all jive, do we? Right? You guys, that's just personal preference. There's nothing wrong with personal preference, okay? I'm not talking about music styles. I'm talking about lyric here, okay? I'm talking about lyric. You see, if you're listening to music that elevates sex or drug abuse or money and greed, then as a believer, you are getting into a vehicle going the wrong direction. Right? Right. Absolutely. Listen. I don't think you're going to go out and commit a crime just because you heard the wrong song. Okay? I'm not saying that, but I am saying that there will be an emotional connection because that's what music does. And so we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Now, to kind of tie this in to worship, how do we tie this into worship? So let's go ahead and bring up Psalms 95, 1 through 2. I'm going to go ahead and start reading it. It says, "Come, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song." You see, in terms of worship, music becomes a vehicle that leads us into the presence of God. And as we grow in God's love for us and establish a history, experience, memory, and yes, even emotion with the Father's heart, then our worship becomes relational, doesn't it? Because there is a connection that happens. There is a connection between you and the heart of the Father. So music on its own cannot produce worship, okay? It cannot produce worship, although it can certainly produce emotion, right? And we learned that this morning, right? We will rock you. Yeah. And music is not the origin of worship, but it can be the expression of it. So do not look to music to induce your worship, church. Look to music as simply an expression of that which is induced by a heart that is in relationship with the Father. Woo! Right? True worship springs forth from a heart that knows God. Period. It springs forth from a heart that knows God. So we cannot, church, we cannot be ignorant of who He is. Yeah. And so in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I'm going to be reading from the Message translation. And for me, it's these verses that really bring out the heart of worship. What is at the core of this thing we call worship? Okay? So here it is. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. This is your true and proper worship. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted. Here we go, young people, listen to this. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's powerful, right? Without even thinking, we will, right? We love the beat. We love the music and the energy. But be careful. Be careful. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. God brings the best out of you. God brings the best out of you. Develops well-formed maturity in you. You see, true worship is defined by the priority we place on who God is in our lives and where God is in our list of priorities. Huh. I'm going to read that again. True worship is defined by the priority we place on who God is in our lives and where God is in our list of priorities. So what this is saying is, do we put God first in our lives? Do we put Him first above our likes and our dislikes? Is He number one in our lives? Is He our first love? So when we begin to understand the heart of worship, it's not the music, it's not the culture that captures our attention. It's the heart of the Father and the goodness of the Father that grabs us. So let me share with you guys what happens when you begin this journey, when you begin this road trip, as you become a worshiper, okay? Because worship not only connects you personally to the Father, but it also opens the door to the supernatural love and power of God. Let me read you guys something, okay? This grabbed me. This is an article of a man, a worshiper, okay? But he is also a renowned violinist, very gifted man, okay? And his name is Maurice Sklar. And so I'm going to read this article. It's a little bit lengthy, but bear with me and listen, because there's something that happens in this, okay, that I want you to grasp. I had to make it a little bigger because my eyes aren't what they used to be. Dr. Maurice Sklar, a Jewish believer in Jesus, okay, is a world-class concert violinist who began playing the violin at age of 4. Okay? Accepted at the Juilliard School of Music in New York at the age of 15. Maurice subsequently won a scholarship to attend Curtis Institute of Music in 1990. He was chosen by Musical America as one of the top 10 young artists of the year. Maurice has appeared as a soloist with a number of orchestras and has ministered on the violin with many major ministries, including Benny Hinn, Pat Robertson, T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer, and Rod Parsley. A spirit of revival and restoration continually manifests itself in Maurice's meetings, and a tangible outpouring of God's glory accompanies his music on the violin. Listen, here's 1 Samuel 16:23. It says, "And it came to pass that David took a harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." You see, there's a story here in the Bible where David begins to play his harp for Saul. And Saul is a troubled man. And there is an evil spirit on him. And he begins to pray. He begins to sing and play his harp over him. And something happens. The power, supernatural, manifest power of God shows up. And the evil spirit takes off. He can't stay there. Something happened. He goes on to say, "I have seen nearly every miracle that took place in the Gospels with my own eyes. I have seen the lame walk. I have seen the deaf hear. I have watched as God opened the eyes of the blind. I have seen cancer healed. I have seen crowds and growths and tumors instantly disappear. In the late 1990s, I was holding a tent meeting in Cedar Mountain, North Carolina. A young woman who had a tumor the size of a large grapefruit came for prayer. I thought that she was pregnant, but it was stomach cancer, and I watched as her stomach just deflated like a balloon. The demon of cancer left her, and she was restored to health. I have seen and I have heard backs crack and pop as Jesus puts them in place, and they are healed. I've seen frozen shoulders, frozen wrists and fingers, and paralyzed limbs restored. I have seen cripples get up off their stretchers and out of their wheelchairs, totally healed. I have seen people come into the service on crutches, and they ran laps around the church after God healed them." Wow. "I watched God heal over 30 people of knee problems in Loveland, Colorado. God recreated kneecaps and every kind of miracle relating to their knees. It was awesome. I have seen crossed eyes uncrossed. I have even seen the dead raised one time. I have seen God give brand new hearts to people, new kidneys, new eardrums, and recreate backs and knees and shoulders and legs and hips and necks." Come on. Woo. "I have seen nearly every kind of arthritis healed before my eyes. I have prayed for patients who were dying with cancer in their last stages and watched God heal them. I have watched as a deformed foot from a birth defect in a 12-year-old girl in Fort Wayne, Indiana, was totally recreated before my eyes as I held her foot in my hand and prayed. I saw her mother start screaming and shouting and jumping up and down as she watched her daughter walk normally for the first time, which the doctor said was impossible. Not for God. I have seen a paralyzed man with a withered hand and atrophied arm completely restored right in front of me on the street in New York. I had stopped and led a wino on East 82nd Street to the Lord during the days when I was studying the violin in Juilliard. When I prayed for his arm and his hand that was frozen in a place next to his body and the gangrene totally left, God totally healed it and gave him a new arm. There are also many other miracles, but there are some that I could not think of right now while I'm writing. By God's grace and mercy, I have watched the Bible come to life before my eyes. During the past 15 years in the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus, so I would be hard to believe that God isn't healing today. Come on. I am an eyewitness. For me, it is just like the apostles testified before the religious leaders of their day. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts 4:20. This is what I have seen, heard, and experienced in the healing ministry of our Lord Jesus. Blessed be his holy name forever. And then he goes on to say, I have noticed that nearly every time miracles like this have occurred, music and worship have been directly connected with them. You see, guys, when you become a worshiper, you get into a vehicle of supernatural healing and power, and it takes you on a journey that's headed straight for the Father's heart. Oh, come on. Why? Because God loves people. He loves people. So I want to encourage you guys today. I want to encourage you by saying this. Get to know God. Get to know your Heavenly Father. When you get up in the morning, say, good morning, God. Say a prayer. Take him throughout your day, you guys. Talk with him. He just wants to talk. He wants to hang out because he's a good dad. What good dad doesn't want to talk to his kids? Yeah. So get to know him. And you know what happens when you get to know him? Let me tell you what happens. You become so full inside. You become so full and you feel so rich. And so when you come to church on Sunday morning and you sit in the pew, you're no longer just singing a few songs about God. Now you are singing and connecting with the heart of the Father. Do you see the difference? Yeah. So when you get to know the Father and you're spending time with him, he begins to reveal to you just how crazy in love he is with you. And you can't contain that. You can't contain that. Church, when we come to service with that kind of heart, with that kind of commitment to relationship and the heart of the Father, then when we all show up, it totally changes and rocks the atmosphere. Yeah, things begin to happen. The miracles and power and manifold presence of God who loves each one of us begins to manifest itself in power and in might and in glory. And people are healed. People are touched. People are refreshed. People are changed by the glory of God. You see, we're getting in a vehicle. Getting in a vehicle and we're headed on a journey. And it's headed straight for him. So, church, we can no longer run. We can no longer run because we're trying to carry the weight, the pressure of our lives ourselves. The Father's running after us, and we're going in this direction because we're trying to do it. Now, church, it's time to stop, put on the brakes, turn around, and run straight for his heart. Run straight for his heart. Everything changes when you run straight for the Father's heart. Whew. Church, that's why I love worship. That's why I love worship. Because there is nothing like worship that connects me to the Father, to the one who created me, to the one who changed me from the inside out. Yeah. So let me ask, church, are you ready to see that happen here at City Park Church? I'm ready to see that happen, but I'm telling you, it will not happen if we are not connecting with the one, with the giver of life, with our first love. It's not going to happen. We can't just expect to show up on church on Sunday morning, right? We can't expect to just show up and not experience the goodness and love of God, you guys. We can't just show up without spending time with Him. We can't. We can't. We have to have that personal, intimate connection with the Father every day. So when we show up at church on Sunday morning, we are bursting inside. We are bursting inside. And it doesn't matter what the person to the left or to the right is thinking when you raise your hand. It doesn't matter what the person to the left or to the right is thinking when you stand up and you begin to shout and praise God because you're so full of the joy of the Lord. You can't help but get up and even dance. You know what? David danced before the Lord. So do you think that that's not part of worship anymore? No. David danced. David danced before God. And he shouted and he praised Him and he spent time with Him because David was intimately connected with the Father's heart. Ugh. Church, it's time to get intimately connected with the Father's heart because that's when change happens. That's when He takes over. That's when the voice of the Lord becomes stronger than the voices out there. I'm telling you, because the voice of the Lord erupts when people are seeking His face, when people are serving Him, when people become worshipers of the Most High God. These walls cannot contain it. And so the lies that are going on out there are dwarfed by the power and the truth of the living God. Hallelujah. So church, become worshipers of the living God. Become worshipers of the living God. Spend time with Him. You won't be dissatisfied. I'm telling you, there is nothing like spending time with Him. The more time you spend with Him, the less appealing everything else is. The less appealing the culture is. The less appealing the lies and all the struggles and all the hurts that we experience in life, the less appealing they become because we know that we are in His hands. And we can rest in that. We can take a break. We can take a vacation. We can take a vacation in the presence of the Lord. Because we know our source. Because we're spending time with our source. Because He envelops our lives. He envelops our praise. He envelops our worship, our song. And the power of God falls in a room and changes people. Yeah. So I'm going to have Benjamin sing this morning. Ben, would you go ahead and sing? And let's go ahead and stand our